Our Heavenly Father, I pray that as we gather together in your name, we want to seek your will. We want to understand what you have to say to each and every one of us. That's why we come here to study your word. And I pray that as we hear, you open our eyes, that we can see the wonderful light in the gospel, and also we can see your glory too. And I pray that through your glory and power, you attract us to follow you all the days of our life until we see you face to face. And I pray that you fill your servant with your Holy Spirit and with your precious word, so that as he explained your word to your children, and they understand what you have said to them, and they are willing to obey you and follow you all the days of their life. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we go back to Romans chapter 1 verse 5. Romans chapter 1 verse 5. So Jean, why don't you read that in Romans, starting with chapter 1, verse 1 to 17. Why don't you read that?
Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Regarding his son, who after his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times, and I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Okay, go back in chapter 1, verse 5. Through him, is through Jesus Christ our Lord, and for his name's sake, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And first of all, I want you to put emphasis on, in verse 5, the word grace. Paul said that through Jesus Christ and for his name's sake, we, that means the servants of God, we servant of God receive grace, and then he received that grace, he want to share that grace with those who are loved by God. So in verse 7, the second part of verse 7, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know why we need to share the gospel? Because first of all, the reason why we share the gospel is because we have received grace from God. We don't want to be selfish. We want to share with others. If they believe what we believe, if they do what we do, how God bless us and give us grace, and God will do the same to those who believe in him. So that's why when Paul write the letter to all in Rome, and Paul say, grace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, if you haven't even received grace from the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't say grace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now that is the gospel. God does not want us to be selfish. When we receive grace from him, we better pass along to other people. Let your friends know about God's grace. And secondly, what did he say? The servant of God, we receive grace and apostleship. He not only received grace, received ministry too, receive a position, okay? What is his job? The job, the ministry of Paul is to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. In other words, when we share the gospel, take a look, like we are all what? 99% in here are Chinese, except Vavina. We owe the other people the gospel. So you need to invite other than Chinese to come here. Because Paul, he said that his job as an apostleship is to call people from among all the Gentiles, not to call people from among the Jews only, but from among all the Gentiles, including Chinese, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. We owe them. We are indebted to them to share the gospel to them. If Paul saying that we receive grace from our Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that our God is a great God, he had enough grace to give it to us and to all the people on earth. So we need to tell them, the God that we believe is a great God, is a gracious God, a merciful one. Paul himself received grace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted to pass along to those people in Rome, okay? Far away places that he has never been there. And yet, Paul loved them because of Jesus Christ. You understand? So, wow. We should give a hand to Gabriel, right? She done a good job. She invite three friends, you know? Oh, smart girl. Oh, wow. So let me ask. Is Jackie, are you a Christian, Jackie? You are not. And what about Jackie? Another one is Jenny?
Jamie.
You're a Christian? So which church did you go to? The Church of God? Where is it?
We usually go to the one near the Shepherd Catholic Church.
Our Catholic Church. Okay. Fair enough. Okay, now, take a look at that. Go back to chapter 1, verse 5. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, and for his name's sake, for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes through faith. I want you to circle the word obedient and then circle the word faith. Where does obedience come from? Obedience comes from faith. So that's why in chapter 1, verse 17, that's why in 1:17, chapter 1, verse 17, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. From first to last. What it really means is, you don't just believe in God, now you believe in God until death. At the moment when you pass away, you still believe in God and you still obey Him. Okay? Obedience comes from faith. And then right beside faith, I want you to write it down. 10:17. You write down 10:17. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from the message. Message comes from the word of Christ. How can a Christian have faith in Jesus Christ unless a Christian hear the message? And the message comes from the word of Christ. If you do not study the Bible, some people call themselves Christian, but if they do not read the Bible, they cannot have faith in God, especially in Jesus Christ. Jean, could you read that? Starting from Romans chapter 10, 14, all the way to 17. Listen carefully.
How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ.
Okay. And 10:15, isn't it? Is it 10:15? Could you read that 10:15 again? God sent his son, sent his servant, right? In the book of Romans, his servant's called Paul, right? God sent Paul. Okay? God sent Paul to preach the message of Jesus Christ. And then when we hear the message, hear his word, then we have faith in Jesus Christ. What did the Bible say? When I have faith in Jesus Christ, 10:14, how do I demonstrate my faith? I will start praying to him. When you read the Bible, the moment when I see that, when you read the Bible, then you receive faith from God. And how do I know that you have genuine faith in Jesus Christ? You start praying to God according to God's word. Once you pray, 10:13, then you receive salvation. Then you receive blessing. You receive health. You receive healing. All kind of good stuff come from prayer. Not just praying in your own word. How can I pray to God unless I believe in Him? If I don't even believe what He says, I don't even believe that what He can bless me, I won't pray to Him. When I read the Bible and I realize He loved me, and I realize He not only loved Paul and give grace and apostleship to Paul in verse 5, and then in verse 7, Paul prayed there, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just not a wishful, it's not a wishful thinking, nor just a statement, declaration. He said with conviction, knowing that God is impartial, God doesn't show favoritism. If you have faith in Him, and God be gracious to you. So that's why, now that I receive grace, I want you to taste the goodness of the Lord. That's why He say grace and peace to you. You understand what I'm trying to say? Wow, once you hear that word, oh, I didn't know that. Now I don't have peace. Last night, there's a girl coming to our church for twice, and she called me, and she said to me, she's very successful in her career, but she has no peace. I heard that. You can help other people. Could you tell me what's wrong with me? How come I don't have peace? You understand what I'm trying to say? Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. She tried to gain peace from her career, from her friendship with other people. She didn't get it. From the material stuff, she didn't get it. And she said, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with her is she doesn't have a good relationship with the Prince of Peace. Right beside peace, you write that Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. What is the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? His name is called the Prince of Peace. If you are very, very successful in your career, by the time when you attain to that level, you find out you didn't have peace. Everlasting peace. Peace from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the name of that Son that was given unto us? For a Son is born, a child is given to us. What is His name? Everlasting Father, Mighty God, right? Wonderful Counselor, and Prince of Peace. If you do not have Jesus Christ within your heart, you do not have peace. You may not know that you don't have peace. Wait until you face suffering and affliction and difficulty. you will break down. There is no peace in this world. Peace comes from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. According to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, and the third one is peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such fruit, nigh fruit of the Holy Spirit, there's nothing. Nothing can against that. Peace comes from God the Father. Peace comes from the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace comes from the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, then gradually you will build up the peace that God gave it to you. Okay? Paul has that. And that's why he prayed that all the audience that who listen to him and read the book of Romans have grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The more you obey God, the more you have peace. The moment you set to oppose Him and against Him, you lost that peace. The moment you grieve the Holy Spirit, you lost the peace. And you need to confess your sins and get back to Him and humble yourself and ask God to forgive all your sins. Then you will regain the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 5, through Him and for His name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. In other words, first come faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, then comes obedience. So how do I know you really have genuine faith in Jesus? I will look at your action to see whether you obey God, obey Jesus Christ, or you oppose it. You can't say to yourself, yes, I have faith in Jesus, and yet I don't study the Bible. Because faith, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes from hearing the message comes from the word of Christ. Let's say you go to a church, you hear a lot of message, but the message is a worldly message, is a message regarding what happened in the whole world. The message is not the word of Christ. You don't hear the pastor take out the Bible, explain the Bible to you, even though you have faith. That kind of faith is not God's faith. It's counterfeit faith. It's not genuine faith. Because the Bible clearly stated that faith comes from hearing the message. Message comes from the word of Christ. Gabriel, could you read that 10:17 in the book of Romans? No, 10:17. Message is heard through the word of Christ. When you hear the word of Christ, then you have faith. When you hear the Bible, hear God's voice, hear God's word, you start to have faith. And how do I know your faith is a genuine faith? I take a look at it. I want to see whether your light has been changed, whether you oppose God or obey God. Before we hear the message, before we hear the word of God, all of us oppose God, against God. Now we are for God. We obey Him. Through your obedience, through your action, I know your faith in God is genuine. Secondly, how do I know you have genuine faith? When you hear the word of God, I see that you start praying. Using God's word to pray. Not only pray for yourself, you pray for your family. Pray for your friend. I know you have faith. You understand what I'm trying to say? And once God answers your prayer, your faith will be strengthened. You say, wow, God is invisible, and yet when I talk to Him, He hears me. Wow, that is wonderful. Then your faith will be strengthened. And He will encourage you to study the Bible more diligently and frequently and memorize it. I give you one illustration. Psalm 46 verse 1. David said, the Lord is my refuge, is my strength, that? Jackie, I want you to read that. Try to read that. Okay? Psalm 46, verse 1. You find it? Read it out loud.
God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble.
Okay, so what does it mean? Ever-present help in times of trouble. If you remember these Bible verses and you get yourself into trouble, if you have faith in Jesus, you have faith in His word, what would you do? The Bible says, you are my refuge, you are my strength, and I'm weak now. I'm in deep trouble. I need help. But because of these Bible verses that I memorized, I'm going to start praying to God. And lo and behold, He answered your prayer. He set you free. He get you out of the trouble. And next time, when you read Psalm 46 verse 1, you say, wow, these Bible verses deliver me. I got saved because I prayed to God according to what He said. He is my ever-present help in times of trouble. You understand what I'm trying to say? If you don't read the Bible, you don't even know that someone can help you. You don't even know that God is willing to help you. So we Christian, if we don't read the Bible, you destroy your own life. Because we all face trouble and difficulty situation every day. You need someone to help you. Your parents may not be around. Even though your parents is around, he cannot say to you, just Jackie, that he is ever-present help in times of trouble. Sometimes beyond His power to help you. Because He's not almighty. But in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, that Son is the Son of God. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He has the power to help me. I cry out to Him. And He helped me. And you tell me, oh, some non-Christian complain against us. He say, this man-written Bible. And you believe in that? I say, yeah. I truly believe in it. Because every time when I'm in deep trouble, I cry out to God according to His promises. He delivered me. Did you get such a help like this? He said, no. Do you? Do you want this kind of health, Jackie? Oh, yeah. That's right. He's my boy. So, study it, right? That's what I'm saying. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. There's no difference between Jews and Gentiles. No difference between Pastor John and Jackie. No difference between a believer and non-believer. There's only one God. And this God doesn't show favoritism. And he is willing to help those who cry out to him. The moment you humble yourself, ask God to help you, he deliver you. That's the God I believe. So Ravina, could you help me to read that? Romans 10, 12. So do you want to get blessing from him? Do you remember these Bible verses? Well, I'm lack of blessing. I need you to bless me. Would you please bless me? You understand what I'm trying to say? You think this kind of God is only God of Paul who write the book of Romans? No. It's Pastor John's God too. It's your God now. The moment you open your heart to receive him, ask him to enter into your heart, he becomes your God. Can he answer your prayer too? So if we don't read the Bible, we don't memorize it, you know who's going to suffer? We're going to suffer. Right? We don't even know he's our values. We don't even know he's our strength. He's our ever-present help in times of trouble. If you have no one to help you, all you can do is cry and cry and weeping doesn't help you. But you cry out to God, it makes a lot of difference. And that's the good news. That's why I'm sharing to other people. I receive this kind of blessing. I don't want to be selfish. That's why I said to you, you first of all believe in Jesus Christ, and then you baptize into him so that you belong to him. You become God's child. Can you imagine? I still remember when Joyce was 6 months old. We live in a very, very small apartment, 2-bedroom. And Joyce wants to sleep with us. I say no, because if she sleep with us, then we can't sleep. So we put her in another room. She cry. You know? And sometime at night she cry, just say, hey. And then my wife woke up and say, what do you need? And she fell asleep again. If a mother responds to a crying baby, can you imagine? We feel lonely. We feel in need and cry out to our God. Will he not respond to us? You see what I mean? What is his name? Everlasting Father. Our earthly father may live up to 70. If he's healthy, maybe 80. Extremely healthy, maybe 90. Eventually he died. Because his name is not called Everlasting Father. Jackie, could you read that? Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6.
For to us the child is born, to us the son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Peace.
Everlasting Father, right? That's his name. Thousand and thousand times better than our earthly father. Yeah, when we were young, we leaned on our father. He provide all our need, physical need. But our earthly father may not be able to provide our spiritual need. That everlasting father provide all your need, your spirit, soul, and body need. Because he's everlasting father. How does it sound? Does it sound good? We need friends to hear that, right? Okay? Now, keep going. Where does obedience come from? Where does obedience come from? Obedience comes from faith. Where does faith come from? Word of Christ. And how do I get blessing? I pray according to the word of Christ. I ask God to help according to his promise. And then I get delivered. Then my faith is strengthened. Once my faith is strengthened, then I start to obey God. Because the more I obey God, the more blessing I will receive from him. You know what? When you were young, you don't need to talk to your parents. You just cry, they'll come to you. From the age of 0 to the age of 1.5 probably. When you're 5 years old, every time you are in need, you cry. Your father say, "Why are you crying? Tell me what you need." I'm not going to tell you. You don't even say that. And they keep crying. I don't think he's going to give you anything. You tell me what you want, I may give it to you. Depends on what you say. You understand what I'm trying to say? By the time you're 15, you're still crying. Oh, when you're 25, you're still crying. You don't speak out. You never grow. You don't know how to speak. You're in deep trouble. You understand what I'm trying to say? As we grow in Christ into maturity, you need to pray to God, and then you need to start obey God. When you obey God, you get more blessed. That's why obedience comes from faith. Do you remember there's a song that we love to sing? Trust and obey, for there is no other way. Do you remember that? Joshua, you remember that? Do you know what? A lot of people, they study the book of Romans. They say that, oh, Martin Luther discovered the writing of Paul. And he tells the Protestant to believe in Jesus Christ. By a step of faith. And then Martin Luther, he used to be a Catholic priest, and he left the Catholic Church and started a Protestant church. At that time, Martin Luther only knows a righteousness from God is from faith. But he didn't know that faith from first to last. He didn't know that. And Paul know that. People don't understand. So that's why in 1:5, I want you to write down right beside 1:5, right beside obedience. Obedience that comes from faith. You write down. The last chapter. Sixteen but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations means people from among all the Gentiles. So that all nations, people from all nations, might believe and obey him. The entire Bible don't just talk about obey God, don't just talk about faith in God, also talk about what? Obey him. You understand? Obedience comes from faith. How do I obey God if I don't even know what he requires of me? Right? If I know what he requires of me, then I start to obey God. If you don't study the scripture, you don't even know what he requires of you. I just give you a few illustrations, just out in the blue, from the Bible verses, from different writing, to see whether you know that. What I mean by faith and obedience. Starting from the Old Testament, from Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 to 13 and 20, Micah chapter 6, verse 8, Matthew 5:48, Luke 6:35 to 36. Take a look at what the Lord requires us to do. In here, in Deuteronomy, what the Lord requires us to do, first of all, fear God. Secondly, love God. What does it mean by fear God and love God? Two things. Obey him. Secondly, serve him. Micah, what does the Lord require of us to do? To act righteously. To act justly. To love mercy. And to walk humbly with God. That's what the Lord requires of us to do. Matthew 5:48. What does the Lord require us to do? Be perfect. Like our Heavenly Father is perfect. Luke 6:36. Be merciful. Like our Heavenly Father is merciful. All this statement is not a suggestion. All this statement is a commandment. It's what the Lord commands us to do. The Lord wants us to learn that. You say, wow, what if I don't want to learn? I know some people will say that, so that's why I say ahead of time. I want you to write down Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 21. Some people are friends to Jesus, friends to his cross. But some other people, they call themselves Christian, but they are enemy to Jesus, enemy to his cross. Those who are enemy to the cross of Jesus Christ, they will go to hell. That's why Paul say that I tell you once, I tell you twice, with whipping, because I don't want you to go to hell. Those people who obey God start to learn it. How do we learn it? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. All these Bible verses that I mentioned to you, Deuteronomy, Micah, Matthew, Luke, all these things, you think it through. Meditate on it. Remember that. And then in verse 9, you put it into practice, you receive it, you hear it, you see it, and you put it into practice. You do it. The peace of God will be with you. You know why we need to fear God? If I refuse to do it, I will go to hell. If I'm willing to do it, I get blessing. You know what? You don't read the Bible. You don't understand what the Bible says. You don't even know how to fear God. You need to go to the right church to hear the message. Don't waste your time, man. I don't go to the church because I want to see certain friends. No, that's not the reason I want to go to a church. I want to go to a church. I go to a church because I want to see Jesus. I want to hear the message of Christ. I want to hear the word of Christ so that I know what to do. So I want to stop my teaching today. All you need, read their Bible verses. I need Joshua to read it. Clearly and loud and clear. Starting Deuteronomy. To see when you hear that, to see if that's exactly what I write down, right? Two things. Moses said, the Lord require of us. First thing, fear God. Second thing, love God. But how do I put it in the practical terminology? What does it mean by fear God and love God? You obey God, obey His command. I know you fear God. I know you love God. You serve Him. You're not a lazy guy. I know you love God. I know you fear God. You got that? Read that.
And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Verse 20. Fear the Lord your God and serve Him. Hold fast to Him and take your oath in His name.
Do I itemize it correctly? He only requires two things of us. Fear Him and love Him. And what does it mean by fear Him? What does it mean by love Him? Two things. You fear Him, you obey Him. You fear Him, you serve Him. You love Him, you obey Him. You love Him, you serve Him. Micah chapter 6 verse 8. What did Micah say?
He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. What does the Lord require of you to do?
Be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Luke chapter 6, 35 to 36. Keep reading it, because the Lord is...
Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
That's what the Lord requires to do. What if I thought this is just a suggestion? No, this is not a suggestion. This is a requirement to all believers. Why? Because obedience comes from what? Faith. You believe in this word, you start to learn it. Now I know people will say, what if I refuse to learn it? Hey, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. It's difficult, especially merciful to my enemy. You know what I mean? You don't want to be merciful to him, right? Then you're not perfect. That means you disobey God. Then how can you lead him to Christ? Can you imagine 13 books, or 27 books in New Testament was written by Paul? Do you know what at that time his name called Saul? He persecuted Christian. He tried to kill Christian. Ananias was sent by Jesus to anoint Saul, and Ananias teach Jesus Christ a lesson. Don't you know they come to persecute us? I'm not going to anoint him with oil to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't you know that he's going to persecute us? Jesus said, go. He's my instrument. Noble instrument. You understand? You understand? If Ananias in Acts chapter 9 refused to be merciful to Saul, and Saul won't come to know Christ. Lo and behold, when Paul come to know Christ, he writes 13 books in the New Testament. The book of Romans was written by Paul. You see that? Ha ha ha. That's good stuff, eh? That's why. Don't just tell me you have faith in Jesus and you refuse to obey Jesus' sake. Go and anoint Saul. His name will be changed, become Paul and become apostle. You understand? He don't see that at that time. Reluctantly lay hand on him, brother Paul. Now, Jesus told me to lay hand on you. You know what I mean? It's okay. You obey. It's okay. Obedience come from what? Come from faith. First of all, you have to hear his word. You may not like it, but it's for your own good. Just you obey, then you see the result. Wow, the outcome is so good. I'm glad I do that. Don't you know that? Paul is so good, right? But I anointed him. You see what I mean? You hear me, Gabriel? If you told me you have faith in Jesus, if you refuse to obey Jesus, you will stumble, you will fall. I know that a lot of people claim themselves to have faith in Jesus without obedience. They are not perfect. When you have faith in Jesus and come with obedience in God's sight, you are perfect. I want you to read Philippians 3:12-21 and tell us two things. If you obey Jesus, you'll be greatly rewarded. If you disobey him, oppose him, and take the cross of Christ as your enemy, you refuse to carry your own cross and follow Jesus, you end up going to hell. You fear of that? You start changing and repent. You understand? You love God, then I obey. Okay. So these are not suggestions. These are commandments. Take a look at what Paul said. Paul saying that I'm not perfect. I didn't attain that perfectness. Now, but I forget what is behind. I press forward. That is my goal. My goal is to be like Jesus, perfect. You understand? He won that. You don't even think about that. You don't even know that you have to do it. How can you do it? You won't do it, right? You got to know your requirement first before you're going to start doing it. Right? Read that. Gabriel, I want you to read that. Philippians 3:12-21, loudly.
Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that.
Why Paul talk about perfect? Not that I have attained perfect, because he know that. Matthew 5:28, be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. He know that's what God require him to do. He didn't say he attained that yet, but he's heading that direction. He mentioned it twice. Read that one more time, starting verse 12.
Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal in the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
In other words, if you're heading that direction to be perfect, you will need to put into practice. You get a prize from God. You refuse to do it. You don't want to carry your cross to be perfect. You do your own thing. Let me tell you, you're going to suffer a lot. You keep suffering and without repentance, you go to hell. Keep reading it.
All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I've often told you before, now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ.
How come he tell them with tears? Let's see what's the outcome.
Their destiny is destruction.
Their destiny is destruction. Then they go to hell. Destruction is the opposite of eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, whosoever believe in him will not perish, will not be destructed, but have eternal life. Gabriel, do you hear what I say? Joshua? Is it a suggestion? Is it option or compulsory? How do you know if you don't study the Bible? You thought that's an option. I don't need to take that. I can pass. No, you don't pass the exam without that, man. Do I make myself clear? You either have eternal life and reward, or you destroy your own life. Keep reading it.
Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly body so that we will be like his glorious body.
Now I'm knowing the outcome of two different outcomes. One is eternal life, one is eternal destruction, one is eternal reward, one is no reward with punishment. Now what should I do? You read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. All these Bible verses I quoted to you, you meditate on it. You think about it. And then you learn from Paul, you receive from Paul, you hear from Paul, you see from Paul, put it into practice. And the peace of God will be with you. Read that. Chapter 4, verse 8 and 9.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable.
I want you to write that. Whatever is pure, whatever is admirable, whatever is noble, these are admirable. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 to 13, verse 20. Micah 6:8, Matthew 5:48, Luke 6:35-36. All these Bible verses are pure, are noble stuff. Think about such thing, and then put it into practice. You're all set to go. Does it make sense? Wesley, where's your friend?
He's living with his grandma because his parents are in BC. Oh, in BC,
okay. You don't forget him, Bruce, eh? Okay.
Read it one more time.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
You know what? What Paul's saying is, the moment you put it into practice, the God of peace is with you. In other words, whenever you make up your mind to put that into practice, Jesus Christ is going to walk with you to help you to do it and get it done. You don't even know that is what the Lord requires you to do, you will never do it. That is gospel. Compulsory stuff. Without that, you can't graduate. How does it sound? Joshua? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to each and every one of us, especially our children, so that they know what to do and they walk in your light, walk in your path, so that they will be prosperous and successful all the days of their life. And I pray that you not only bless them and use them to be a noble instrument to bless their children after them. I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.